الله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توغى وتمتعه فيها طويلا It is the night of the day of Ashura, and it is a night of mourning, azah, learning, education, and in particular a night of repentance. That is what we learn from this entire sacrifice of Aba Abdullah to return to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Some questions to answer, and inshallah we'll come to our topic. The first one is that, is it okay to go for a job on the day of Ashura? The day of Ashura is the day of mourning, Aza. So first is that everything should be shut, work should be shut, education if possible. And if someone is bound to go to his job and he cannot quit that day, then even if he works, whatever he earns that day, put that money aside, don't use it yourself. Give it in the way of the Majlis and Aza of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. That is the teaching. So whatever we, first of all, we shouldn't work. Nor should we buy anything, any commodities, any foodstuffs for that, for ourselves on that day. It's a day of mourning, crying, shedding tears. And if you do work, you are bound to work, for whatever reasons, whatever you earn, put it aside and give it for Aba Abdullah. There was another question, and that is with regards to the knowledge which Allah Jalla wa'ala possesses, which is vast. And that Allah, if He knows who we are, from where we have come, where we are heading to, what our end is going to be, then He knows everything. Then what is the point of us being here? Then where does the free will, that ikhtiyar, freedom lie? So what is the whole point behind this concept of creation? I'll give you some points, just put them in your mind and you'll get an answer yourself. The knowledge which Allah possesses, it's vast, and He has the knowledge of everything. He knows things that are seen, things that are unseen, things that are evident for us, things that are hidden. What happens in our minds, in our khiyal, all that is before Him. The movement of every leaf of every tree is before Him. The creatures which are within the rocks, which cannot be seen at all, even the knowledge of that is with Allah. What is under the seas, everything is evident before Him. The knowledge which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala possesses, it is part of His existence. That is, when I say Allah, it means Allah who possesses all that knowledge, Allah who possesses all that might, Allah who is all living. It isn't as such that we have a God and we've got knowledge separate, life separate, and might separate. For us, it's different. For example, if you have a cell phone, you have a memory card that's different, you have a battery to charge it. So you put them all together, that cell phone can work. If that memory card is taken off, it will have no memory. Or if there's no battery in it, it won't work. Human being is also like that. We have an existence of our own, and this existence was topped up with life, with hayat. After our birth, that knowledge also was topped up, that is nursery, primary, secondary, college, university. Also, I was weak. A time came that gradually, slowly, all that power, those abilities were given to us. So for us, we have an existence of our own, which is topped up for three other things: life, knowledge, and might. Allah, He is one existence who possesses that life, who possesses that might, who possesses that knowledge. Now, when we say that He knows everything, where does this freedom lie? In this grand creation that He has created, there are certain things wherein we play no role. For example, this human being, the heart of this individual, Allah has turned it on, and there is an expiration date to it. It will turn it off all by itself. So we play no part over there. It will just keep on working until it has to work. We can't say, don't work for an hour, have a rest, and then start working after an hour. We can't do that because we have no ability in that. So there are certain things we play no part. There are things that we play a part. That my coming to this majlis, it was with my own free will. No one can say that, no, you were bound to go there. No, I wasn't bound to go there. I tried, I got ready, came here. Or intended to speak, speaking. So these are things wherein I play a part myself, and whatever I do, I will be judged. Now, with reference to how much might we have, how much are we bound to, there is a teaching from our sixth Imam. He says that لا جبر ولا تفويز بل أمر بين الأمرين. There is no binding totally as such, nor has Allah given the charge to you wholly and solely, but it's somewhere in the middle. That is, in certain cases, you have no freedom of your own, like that heart of yours. And in many cases, it's your own free will, your own wish that you have come here. He says that if your performance is good, for that He has kept that heaven, for that He has kept that hell. Now, if we say that there is no freedom and we are bound to be what we are, then why has He created the hell and the heaven? Why has He invested so much, so many prophets? 124,000 prophets were sent to educate mankind. So all that will be a waste. And Allah does not do anything which is waste. Waste means unwise. And God who is unwise is not liable to being a God. It means that we are putting God aside because of that thought of ours, that we are bound to do what we are doing, and Allah, because He knew, that is going to happen. Yes, what He knows, He knows. And what is going to happen, will happen. To understand things, this in very simple words, we can give this example. For example, sometimes a speaker, at seeing the crowd, he knows that whatever is being told, it's getting to the destination or it's bouncing back. That happens. Or for example, a teacher in her class, if she has 30 students, in the first day of the school or the first week, she can say that this student is going to pass and that one is going to fail. At the end of the year, if the student passes or that student fails, will the mom and dad come and say that it was your knowledge because you knew he failed? No, she knew he failed, yes. But is it not? That wasn't the reason. The reason why he failed was he didn't work. The performance was bad. So, ikhtiyar, freedom, is there. We are. We have that free will. And we are mukhtar. That is, Allah has given us that free will, and based upon that free will, we are performing, we are worshipping, we are being good, we are being bad, whatever, that is all based on the free will. I hope it's clear, inshallah. Salawat. Coming back to our topic, and that is on guidance, I'll quote a report from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam from Nahj al-Balagha. Here a person comes and asks Amir al-Mu'mineen about khair. Khair is good. Su'ila 'an al-khair ma huwa faqala laysa al-khair an yakthura maluka wa waladuk. Says Imam, what is khair? What is good? In reply, Imam says that khair, good, doesn't mean that your wealth multiplies or your children multiply. ولكن الخير أن يكثر علمك وأن يعظم حلمك. Good means your knowledge, it increases. Your ma'rifa, it increases. Your tolerance increases. That is, we have to be tolerant. This is one of the beautiful teachings that we have. Although all of these glorious sayings of Ma'sumeen are like the words of Quran, forever, eternal, and they have that, they carry that weight. Says that we have to learn if we want to be Ahlul Khair. The definition of knowledge that we have, it is ma'ubida bihir rahman. That is, with that knowledge we worship God. Wa hussila bihil jinan, and with that knowledge we get the paradise. That is knowledge. So it could be any knowledge. Any knowledge which becomes a tool in us coming closer to God. May that be IT, may that be medicine, may that be deen, whatever. We can get closer to God, and that is by servitude, no matter what knowledge it is, what science it is, and that worship of Allah can be sought. And then says, وَأَن تُبَاهِيَ النَّاسِ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّكِ فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتَ حَمِدْتَ اللَّهِ. And that man, he has to be proud of this, that we are the servants of God. Yesterday it was mentioned, Aba Abdullah means father of the servants of God, because he invited everyone to the right path, as a result of which they become good servants and slaves of God. For that reason he is known as Aba Abdullah. Fain ahsanta hamidtallah. If you find that your performance was good, you have become a better person. Imam says you have to praise Allah for those opportunities that have been given to you. Wa in asa'at astaghfart. And if wrong was done by us, we have to seek repentance. We have to seek the forgiveness of Allah. Wala khayra fid dunya illa lirajulain. And all the good that we have in this dunya, Imam says it is for two people. Now who are these two people? Says illa lirajulain. رَجُلٍ أَذْنَبَ ذُنُوبًا فَهُوَ يَتَدَارَكُهَا بِالتَّوْبَةِ. That someone who has done wrong, Imam says he repents, he corrects that wrong, and that is by tawbah. Says that is a good person. وَرَجُلٍ يُسَارِعُ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. And another person, the second one, is someone who heeds, who is fast towards doing good. وَاسْتَبِقُ الْخَيْرَاتِ, which Quran says that when it comes to good, you have to compete. You have to be fast in doing good. So Imam over here says, good is not in you working hard for your prosperity, sweat and bear all the pains. Says, before you go towards increasing your, multiplying your wealth and children, first increase your education, your ma'rifah, your knowledge towards Allah. Practice it, increase it. If it's your worship, it's your prayer. Try to enjoy that worship. Try to enjoy those du'as, those prayers, those recitals. When you are strong enough, and then step out, embark on other stages of this worship. So here Imam says that that person who repents, who has done wrong and corrects immediately, that is good. Look into Quran Surah Taha. The story of Prophet Musa is mentioned. Prophet Musa is one of the greatest prophets of Allah, to whom this Sharia also was given. There Fir'aun, he has an open invitation to all the magicians in town. He says that all the best of the magicians come here, and you have to perform and show your talent, so that Musa, who has made my life miserable, is put aside. So the best of magicians, they come. They say, what will you give? He says, whatever you want, 100% guaranteed, everything will be given to you. Just get rid of Musa. They say, okay, that's simple. When Prophet Musa comes to that place where they were to perform, they see a person in simple clothes, in ordinary clothes, having just a walking stick in his hand. Say, this is simple. We can just deal with him in a very simple way. Fir'aun says, okay, start. They say, Musa, do you want to show your talent first, or shall we? Prophet Musa says, you do it. And they show their magic, and that is, all those snakes were created by them. And here the instructions to Prophet Musa is that, وَأَلْقِ مَا فِي يَمِينِكَ, that is, throw that stick in your hand, and that stick changes into that huge big snake and gobbles and eats up all those snakes that they had created. Upon seeing them, some of them fainted, some of them ran away, some of them they embraced and said that what we see today, it's different, it's not a magic, it is something which is the power and might of God. And upon this, when Fir'aun sees that these magicians, they have turned back to Prophet Musa, he says that you had some arrangement, prior arrangement with Musa, that this has happened. They say, no arrangement. We saw what we saw, and we have submitted to the God of Musa. He says, consequences are severe. They say, whatever. قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, that is, who is that? بِرَبِّ مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ, that is, we have submitted بِرَبِّ هَارُونَ وَمُوسَى to the God of Harun and Prophet Musa. Here Fir'aun says, فَلَأُقَتَّعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ, that is, I will cut off your right hand and the left leg, or the left leg, or the right leg with the left hand. That was the punishment over there, and then I'll hang you. They say, whatever, we have come to the destination, although all that wrong was done throughout their life. They say that we have repented, and Musa's God also has accepted us for the wrong that we did, as a result of which they were guided. So guidance always is there, and repentance, the doors of repentance are always open, no matter how much wrong we have committed throughout our life. And tonight is a night of repentance. One of the other things that we ought to know over here is that all these different messages and calls and emails that we get regarding magic, black magic, what and what not. Now, it seems that all these magicians, they have nothing else to do but cast their spells on Mu'mineen, and Mu'mineen also want a solution for these black magics that happens. It doesn't work that way. Mu'mineen, if they are strong enough, if they've got their worship pattern correct, if they've got all their prayers intact, du'as and whatever their daily program is, they are protected by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and nothing happens. And if you are scared that someone has casted some spell on you, Mafatihul Jinan is there, open it, and there are du'as, just recite those du'as and everything will be fine. And no, now, especially nowadays where nothing is free of charge, no magician casts his spells on us for free. No, he will not do that. They take money, they'll cast a spell. Nothing is done for free. So there's nothing to worry. There's no spells casted by anyone. And if you are fearing, salawat. One of the other issues which we, if you come forward, one of the other issues we have to give importance to is this it'am, it's feeding, how to host a guest. So there are etiquettes that we have, there are rules that have to be observed in that. Ma'asum, he says that when you invite a guest, and the guest, he comes to your home, that guest, he will take you to the heaven. It is not as such that you are providing something for him. That guest, when he comes to you, So a guest, when he comes to you, he brings his own rizq, he brings his own sustenance with him. And when he goes from your house, he takes away the sins, the contamination that was there from us and our families. That is, again, another bonus that we get by hosting a guest. With the guest, angels, they come, barakat, they are poured down on an individual. And our sixth Imam, he says that the guest, he brings forgiveness, maghfira for you and your family. And he takes with him all the wrong, the sins, the problems that are there. And one who feeds the hungry, the moment he has hosted a guest, Allah has created, has made a river flow in the heaven just for that one good which you have done. That is regarding hosting a guest. Now our sixth Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam, says that there are some etiquettes to be observed when you invite someone. When you invite someone, it is upon that mu'min to accept that invitation. Or if that invitation is offered, accept it. And one of the places, and when you've invited someone, it is upon us to prepare and to welcome that guest in the best possible way, to feed him whatever we can in the best way. One of the places where ghibat, backchat, or backbiting is permitted is when a person is invited and he's not hosted properly. Okay. Now when invited, the Prophet, his teaching is that he is the first one. When he invites guests, he starts eating first and he is the last one to finish. Again, it is mustahab that the host, he starts eating first and he is the last one to stop eating. So it shouldn't be as such that the guest, he stops, the host stops before the guest. Now this is very important, that now that we've been to the host, we've been their guest, how long do we stay there? Do we just stay there forever? Here says that once you've had, once you are invited, the host, he would tell you where to sit. Listen to him. Don't say that I want to sit here. He has made avail the place for you somewhere else, and you don't listen to him. That again, it's against the teaching. Someone invited Amirul Mu'mineen. He says, Ya Ali, I want you to come to my house. Imam says, okay, I will accept, but on three conditions. Says, the first condition is that no food from outside, no pizzas. Oh, the children didn't like it. Yeah. The second one is that Imam says, we will eat together. Shouldn't be as such that because I'm coming to your house, you start holding food. Says, whatever is present in your house, prepare it and we'll eat together. Not that I eat and you sit and look at me. That is also not allowed. The third thing is that Imam says, don't burden a lot. Don't bother your wife too much to make the food. That is, you also help him, be with him. If she's cooking, you do the cleaning. If she's do the cooking, you do the baking. If she's doing the baking, you look after the children. Not that just sit doing... Yeah, not that you sit and do nothing and everything is to be done by her. Now, some men are really nasty. They don't do anything at all. Entering into the kitchen is a sin. It has happened to me that once in one of these houses, all the women were on the other side, and I went into the kitchen to put the dishes. The lady, she comes out beating on her head. I said, what happened? Did you fell down? No. A man in the kitchen? A man should not come in the kitchen. Now, what is all this? So, that is the teaching, that we have to help the wife if she is cooking in whatever way, in whatever manner. The other thing is that the teaching is that we have to show our gratitude to the host. Whatever they have prepared, we should say appreciate their hard work. Now the teaching what Quran has in this regard, that when we are invited, how do we behave? Quran says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tadkhulu buyutan nabi illa an yu'dhana lakum. Now the address is to Prophet, that when you want to enter the house of the Prophet, you have to get their permission. Now that is being addressed to the Prophet, but at large it is to everyone. that if we want to go to someone, says get their permission. Now that you get their permission, how do you get their permission? You ring the doorbell, and when they open the door, just don't say hi. Say salamun alaykum. That is the teaching. After that says, illa an yu'dhana lakum ila ta'amin ghayra nadhirina ina. Now this is another teaching, that if you are invited at a certain time, says go to that house at that time. Don't go an hour before and you sit and wait and to see what is cooking. That is also against the rules, that we have to be there on time, not before time. Upon the host, it's to avail everything, to prepare everything before time, so that the guest also doesn't wait. Walakin, and then says, إِذَا دُعِيتُمْ فَادْخُلُوا. And if for any reason they say that we are busy, just come back. There's nothing to worry. No need to talk a lot. Just come back. فَإِذَا تَعِمْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُوا. Now that if you have had your meal, don't sit there until the end of the day. No, move quickly. فَانْتَشِرُوا, disperse. Don't sit there for long. That is again another teaching which is very important, that we don't have to sit there for hours and hours. The same thing is, for example, a majlis like this which is held, all these long distances which we travel, 40 minutes, 50 minutes, maybe an hour to get here, an hour to go back, 2 hours, and then maybe the program is for 2-3 hours, 5 hours, and after having the meal we may sit for half an hour, 1 hour. So it's 6 hours gone, which is a full day. A lot of work. It doesn't mean that after here we have the same gathering sitting somewhere else. That is bad. Here the teaching is that فَإِذَا تَعِمْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُوا. After you've had your meal, go, disperse. Or if it's a walima which was held 2 hours, 3 hours, and all that hard work which the hosts have taken care of, it doesn't mean that gathering goes back to the bride or the groom's house again. No. Or again, furthermore, that gathering goes back to another house. No, that's not required. We have been invited, we go to that place. Once we are done, we go back to our homes, not to any other place. Fantashiru. The term used in Quran is fantashiru. You have to disperse, not that get together once again. So these are the teachings that we have from Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam with reference to, and there are many more, inshallah, at another opportunity we can explore these sayings of Ma'sumin alayhimus salam. We talked about tawbah, repentance, and tonight is that night of repentance. And looking back into history, or even not even history, if we look into our own communities that we are living in, we find that there have been people, there are people who were very good at times, and all of a sudden when we see them, they have turned away. They have become very bad. Or we have seen people who are very bad, but they have twisted and turned back and become the best of people. How come this happens, and what is the reason behind that? For example, we can mention some of the examples over here. It's the Prophet in one of the meetings that he has, present in that meeting with the Prophet, it's Zubair and Amirul Mu'mineen. The Prophet says to Zubair, Zubair, do you like Ali? He says, I love him. He's the best of my friends. The Prophet then says that Ali, Zubair, a day will come when you will stand against Ali. Zubair, he is one of the best of men. The performance we find from Zubair at the age of 16, miraculous tasks he did in the wars, in the battles, which no one else could do. Then he says that a day will come you will stand against Ali. And Zubair, who was one of the best people at that time, he also is amazed that how come I can stand against Ali. Now looking into the performance of Zubair, for example, when the Prophet had passed away and they came to the house of Ali and Zahra, and they dragged Amirul Mu'mineen out of the house, and the door of Zahra was broken, burnt down, and she was crushed between the door and the wall. The first one to stand in support of Amirul Mu'mineen is Zubair. Zubair, he takes his sword out and says, "Ayuf'alu hadha bi'Ali?" And addressing to the men over there, he says that Ali should be dealt in this way, and you are all alive. On that, he is knocked down, he is tied, and Amirul Mu'mineen is dragged into the streets of to Masjid. So no one else had the courage to do that, but Zubair did. So someone who has got that beautiful performance in the past. But in the Battle of Jamal, we find that when Amirul Mu'mineen is on the other side, here Zubair is his opposition. Amirul Mu'mineen comes to Zubair and says that, "Do you remember that saying of Rasulullah 30 years ago when he said that, 'Do you love Ali?' And that was your response. It was this day that he had in mind. Based upon that, he said that." Zubair, he puts his head down. And amidst that meeting, Aisha, she has a slogan that Zubair has been attacked. And after that, it was his men who came and who killed Zubair. So someone who had that beautiful past ends up against Amirul Mu'mineen. So how come? Why did that happen? So we have to see that if there is some wrong in us, that has to be corrected quickly before that end of ours is also in the same way. Or for example, sometimes we find that people, they do good in a real good way, in a beautiful way. Sometimes people do bad in a detesting way. Sometimes bad is done in a bad way, just a regular bad. Or sometimes a bad is done, a good is done in a just random, regular, good way. A person, he wants to give sadaqah to a faqir, to someone who is needy. He may hide it and give it to that faqir and no one else finds out. That dignity of that faqir is also observed, and he also doesn't promote himself that I've done something good. But sometimes people, they give sadaqah and they want to promote themselves that it was me who gave that, it was me who did that, it was me who helped that person. That is bad. So a good was done in a bad way, and also reward was lacking in there. Sometimes we find that a good is done in a wonderful way. A beggar comes to Medina, to Masjid al-Nabi, and there says that, "Who is the most generous person in town?" And they say it's Hussein. He is the Imam of time, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. He is the most generous present over here. Salawat. Now this beggar, when he gets the address of the house of Abu Abdullah, he comes by the door and says that, "Anta jawadun wa anta mu'tamadun. Abuka qad kana qatilul fasaqa." Just says that phrase, that you are the generous, you are the respected, and your father was among those who killed all those fasiqeen. That is what he says in a poem. Abu Abdullah finds out that he is someone in need, comes and tells to his family that there is someone at the door and it is a good time if you want to help. He puts a little bit of cloth in the middle of the room and says, "Whoever, whatever you have, put it in this and we'll make a parcel and give it to the beggar." So the family members, whatever they had, they put it in that little knapsack and it was made. And here, Imam does not even open the door. See the beggar. Through the window, he gives that little parcel out. When he's giving that, says that, "Khudha fa inni ilayka mu'tazirun wa'lam bi anni alayka dhu shafaqa." Take it and know that I love you. This is the little we had and what we can offer now. That's it. Imam doesn't even open the door, does not even look at the beggar. That is, if he sees the Imam, maybe a day he is ashamed that I was in need, I went and I extended my hands before the Imam. Or for example, if you look into the performance of our sixth Imam in Medina, a person comes, he was a well-off person. He comes and says to the Imam, "Imam, I've lost my money. I haven't got anything. I have to get back to town. Imam says, how much do you need? He says, 1,000 dirhams. Imam says, give him 10,000. He says, give it to me, and although I cannot come back to you, but I will give much more on your behalf as sadaqah to whoever you say. Now Imam gives 10 times more to him. And then the companions who were present in that majlis, they say that he wanted 1,000. Why did you give him 10,000? Imam says, because that person was Kareem. He was a generous person. He was a good person. And then he says, I'll give it to you, but one condition. Condition is that you never see me ever, no matter what circumstances. Now why does Imam say that? Because he doesn't want that person to be ashamed to that little percentage also, that I was stuck and I had to go to the Imam and Imam sorted me out. Although Imam is generous, they are Kareem, aadatukum al ihsan wa sajiyatukum al karam, but they don't want the Shias to be ashamed even that little bit, even when it comes to their own presence. So that good is done in a wonderful way, in a beautiful way. Sometimes we find that bad is done in a bad way. Sometimes bad is done in a detestable way. On the day of Ashura, all that bad was done. They attacked, they killed. But we find that some of these ruthless figures that we had, they did bad in a real bad way. For example, when Abu Abdullah was killed, someone came and took away his clothes, someone came and took away his sword, everything was seized away. This mal'oon, he comes to take his ring off. The ring wouldn't come out. He amputates and chops off the finger to take that ring away. So a bad done in that real horrible way, which is bad. So what must we do so that our end is not like those people? If we are doing good, it becomes better. If we are bad, it changes to good, and we stay on track, on the right program. For that, Quran says, وَأَنِعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. That is by way of worship. Worship, servitude, obedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whatsoever He has said, we have to be obedient to Him. Obedience, it plays the most important role in our life. That is, if we want to get to God, it's by obedience. If we want to get to Hussein, it is by obedience. If we want to get our children raised in a good atmosphere, that is by obedience to Allah. So everything revolves around this obedience. Shaitan, he worshipped the most. In Nahjul Balagha, Imam says that he worshipped for 6,000 years. And then says that it's unknown, 6,000 years of this world or 6,000 years of Akhirah. If it is of Akhirah, it means that every day is equal to 50,000 years. Khamsina alfa sana, which Quran says. So if it is 6,000 multiplied by 50,000 days, that much of worship Shaitan did. After all that worship, how come it did not benefit? Because he worshipped, he became an abid, never became an abd. Abd means slave, someone who submits to God. Abid means a worshipper. So anyone can become a worshipper. Anyone can worship thousands of rak'at, at the same time have a lot of filth in his life. That is an abid. An abid doesn't carry weight. Someone who is abd, that is, if Allah says 11 rak'at, 11 sincerely, says that is okay, that is sufficient, more than enough. Or when Allah says to Shaitan, Shaitan, submit, bow down before Adam, that sajda has to be done, he says, God forgive me, I won't bow down before Adam, instead ask me to perform worship, to worship you for thousands and thousands of years, I'll worship, but I will not bow down before Adam. That is putting a condition before God, and that is because he didn't become an abd, not a servant, but he was an abid. Now this again applies to each one of us, that many a times we find that the rules, the do's and the don'ts that we have, we don't submit to it as we ought to submit, as Allah has told. We find in all these different istifta'at that are asked from mujtahideen, that what should be done, what should not be done, and then they do whatever they want, as they wish, as they please. During the time of Marhum Ayatullah Burujardi, a person comes and says, now on the day of 9th and 10th of Muharram, there were many things that were done that were against the rulings of Ayatullah Burujardi. He issued his fatwa that this shouldn't be done. A delegation, they come to him and say that, Agha Burujardi, we are your muqallid, and this is your fatwa. He says, yes, that is my fatwa, you shouldn't be doing that on 9th and 10th. They say that, we are your muqallid, allow us to be your muqallideen, exception 9th and 10th of Muharram. That 9th and 10th we'll do what we are doing, the rest of the days we'll be your muqallid. So that is bad. That is not obedience. Obedience means all 365 days with 9th and 10th. So that is, if a person adapts that policy of obedience, a part-time obedience, that is that dangerous part-time obedience, a person will become like shaitan, will say that I'll be an abid, not an abd. The same thing is over here. So when it comes to obedience, it has to be obedience in all sides, in all ways, and at all times. For example, if we look into the performance of Amirul Mu'mineen, here again it is amazing, it's great, that a person comes and says that I saw a Jew on that day when Amirul Mu'mineen was dragged into the streets of Medina, that is the day when the Prophet died. He, upon seeing Amirul Mu'mineen and with this rope in his neck, says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, embraces and becomes a Muslim. People present over there, they say that, why now? Were you not present in the battle of Khaybar when Amirul Mu'mineen, he lifted that gate of Khaybar? Why didn't you embrace then? Why didn't you become a Muslim then? He says that what I see now is different. What I saw then was different. What I saw then was the might of Ali which he possessed. That is, by the command of Allah, he could do what he can. And everyone knew his might and his courage. What I see today, it's much stronger than what I saw then. That Ali, with this rope in his neck, who is so brave, who is so mighty, there is something behind this mazlumiyat, this oppression of Ali, that he hasn't stood against these men. There is something great in this man, which I see today, which I did not see then. And that is why I embrace and I become a Muslim today. Ali is Asadullah. Riwayat, they say, is Ali is Ayatullah al-Uzma, the greatest sign of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. And when he is so much oppressed, so much mazloom, there is something behind it. And that again, we did talk about it, and that is the instructions that we had from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala through the Prophet, that he has to be patient, because this nation of Rasulullah has to be in one piece, it has to be intact. No matter what the circumstances are, he will be deprived from his khilafah, yet he has to be patient. It's the night of the 10th of Muharram, Tasu'a, and it's the day of Ghaza tomorrow. This caravan, when it moves from Karbala, heads towards Sham, that is when we find that all of these afflictions, masa'ib, they pour down. On the day of Ashura, we have all these masa'ib. But in reality, these masa'ib start after Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. Sa'd bin Sahl, a companion of Rasulullah, he says that, I come to Sham, Damascus, And at that time, it was one of those very great cities with high-rise structures and all that. He says that when I come to Sham, I see there is a celebration. The markets, the shops, they are all closed. And there are a large number of people in the town center. Says, I come and say that, what is happening? What is this celebration? Why is everything adorned? They say, you don't know? Says, no, I don't live here. They say that it is the procession, that is the household of Hussein ibn Ali, is being brought to Sham. Heads of the martyrs, the shuhada of Karbala, are being brought. That is why we have all gathered here to celebrate. He says that grandson of Rasulullah has been killed and you celebrate. From a distance, he says that I saw these heads come towards the town center. He says, I rushed towards the gate. And there I see a noble head raised on this javelin, which resembles the Holy Prophet the most, reciting Quran. What are the verses that are being recited? That is, do you think that the story of the companions of the cave, that is more mysterious? My story is much more mysterious. Then he sees that there is a caravan which is by this head of Abu Abdullah. There are women and children in that, comes to them. Says, I'm Sahil, a well-wisher of Rasulullah. Is there any service I can do to you, household of Rasulullah? It was Sakina bintul Hussein. She says, yes, please. Just take this head of my father away from this caravan, so that people, they don't cast their looks, they don't gaze at us so much. He says, okay, certainly, I'll do it for you. Comes to this person and says that, I'll give you 400 dirhams. Just take this head away from this caravan. He says, give it to me, I'll do it for you. In Ziyarat Nahiya, we read that someone in Ghaibat, that is our 12th Imam, he is shedding tears. Shedding tears night and day, tears of blood. Why is that? Says, it is because Ali's daughter is being taken into captivity in that wretched way, all the way from Karbala to Sham, and that for that reason he cries. Zainab, she is the hero of Karbala, the messenger of Karbala, the missionary of Karbala. Without her, this Karbala wouldn't have reached here. She, like her brother, on the night of the 10th, a night like now, maybe it was the same time, Maqatil, they say that Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, he has a sword in his hand and comes out of the camps and clears all the thorns and the bushes which are in the desert. Why? So that tomorrow when there is an ambush, and when these women and children, they will be running around, they don't get hurt with these thorns and these bushes. Says that after the 9th, that is on the 10th of Ashura, Zainab, she has that sword in her hand now, and she is clearing the bushes and these thorns away. She is the one, the first one, who comes to serve Abu Abdullah. Says that when Hussein, he fell off the horse, ثُمَّ خَرَجَتْ زَيْنَبْ مِنَ الْفِسْطَاطِ وَهِيَ تُنَادِي wa أَخَاهَ. When Imam falls from the horse, Zainab, she rushes from the camp towards the battlefront, saying, wa أَخَاهَ, my brother, wa Sayyida, my master, wa أَهْلَ بَيْتَا, لَيْتَ السَّمَاءَ أَتْبَقَتْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ, I wish the skies, they fell on the ground. لَيْتَ الْجِبَالِ تَدَكْدَكَتْ, I wish all these mountains, they shook and they broke. Zainab, she comes to Abu Abdullah. Here Shimr, la'natullah alayh, is on the chest of Hussein. She says that Ayuqtalu Abu Abdullah wa anta tanzuru ilayh? Must Hussein be killed and you just gaze and look at him? When departing from Sham, from Damascus, she's going back to Karbala. And when people, they come to say farewell to Zainab, she says, O people of Sham, I am leaving behind an amanat, a trust. I want you to take care of it. They say, what is that? Says, it's the daughter of Abu Abdullah, Ruqayya bint al-Husayn, that she is being left behind. On that day of Ashura, we find that a child is hit between the shoulders. Earrings of the child are snatched. She faints. And when she wakes up, she finds herself that she is in the laps, being comforted by Zainab alayha salam. Masaib that unfold on Abu Abdullah, they are great. Among them, it's this beautiful, strong young lad of Abu Abdullah, Ali Akbar. From among the army of Umar Sa'd, we find that the soldiers of Umar Sa'd, they are reluctant to fight Ali Akbar because of his beauty, because of his might, because of his courage. And when Ali Akbar comes to Abu Abdullah, says, فَاسْتَعْذَنَ أَبَاهُ فِي الْقِتَالِ, to seek the permission of his father to set off to fight. Then says, the maqatil say that, ثُمَّ نَذَرَ إِلَيْهِ نَذَرَ آيَسٍ مِّنْ, that Imam looked at Ali Akbar, a look of someone who has lost hope. Says that, he looks at his son who is so strong, full of grace, mighty, and he is moving towards the battlefront. Imam looks at him with despair. There says that Baraza ilayhim ghulamun, that someone has appeared before them who resembles the Prophet the most in speech, in talk, in looks, in charm, no one like him. Here Mur bin Munqiz Abdi, Riba Maqatil, they say that he could not see how with all this grace Ali Akbar is fighting. He attacks Ali Akbar and Ali Akbar falls on the horse and onto the ground. Some Maqatil say that he hit him on his head, as a result of which his head started bleeding, eyes were full of blood, fell onto the horse, and from the horse onto the ground. And when he fell to the ground, فَجَعَلُوا يَضْرِبُونَهُ بِسُيُوفِهِمْ حَتَّى قَتَعُوا إِرْبًا إِرْبًا, that is, when he fell to the ground with their swords, they attack him so much that he is sliced and broken into pieces. Says, يَا أَبَتَا عَلَيْكَ مِنَّ السَّلَامُ, father, unto you be my salam. Ya Habib Qalbah wa Thamar Fuada, father says, O delight of my heart, comes to Ali Akbar, cleans his eyes, holds his body, and now Ali Akbar has passed away. Imam says, Ala Dunya Ba'daka Al Afa, that on this dunya after you be woo. When he falls and he is thirsty, says that, father, is there a drop of water that could be given to me? Says, how can I? Look at my tongue, it's even more drier than yours. When he dies, is welcomed by the Prophet and says, father, don't worry, that water has been given to me by the Prophet and I will never ever get thirsty again. Zainab says that so long as my brother was alive, for me to look at Hussein, these two eyes were sufficient. Hussein was in one piece. Says that on this day of Ashura, Hussein has appeared to me Not in one piece. I need 1,000 eyes to look at my brother Hussein. Looking into the Masa'ib of Ahlul Bayt, the 8th Imam, he reports from his father, says that once his house was set ablaze. Imam Kazim, he says that I looked at my family, my wife, my children, run in that house from one room to another looking for shelter. One of his companions comes and says, Imam, why are you so much disturbed? Masa'ib for you, Ahlul Bayt, was something which has always existed. First affliction on you was Shahadat of Hazrat Hamza. Next affliction on you was this martyrdom of Amirul Mu'mineen. Then it was Aba Abdullah. It's nothing great for you, Ahlul Bayt. Imam says, I don't cry for that. The reason why I cry over here is that I was present. And in my presence, I saw my family and my children run from one room to the other in that ambush, in that fire. I am reminded of my father's family, where there wasn't anyone to help them, to support them, to be a shelter for them. And everything was set ablaze and they were running from one room to the other. Ali Asghar, this infant of Aba Abdullah, mother is Rubab, sister is Sakina. Aba Abdullah, when no one has remained, he is all alone, comes and says that, Zainab, can I have my infant? She brings the infant to Aba Abdullah, holds him, says, Hal min dhabin yadhubbu an harami Rasulullah? Is there anyone who could help, who could serve this household of Rasulullah? Hal min mughithin? Is there anyone who could help? Zainab, give me my baby. Takes the baby in his hand and then says, Ya qawm, in lam tarhamuni farhamu hadha tifl. O nation, if you have no mercy on me, at least have mercy on this infant. Maqatil, they say that Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, he bowed down, wanted to bend down to kiss his Ali Asghar, and that spear of that mal'oon lands into the neck of Ali Asghar and slices it from one ear to the other. فَذَبَحَ الطِّفْلْ مِنَ الْوَرِيدِ, or some say مِنَ الْأُذُنِ إِلَى الْأُذُنِ, from one ear to the other it was sliced. Imam, when this happens, takes the blood of Ali Asghar, throws it to the skies. Maqatil, they say that that never poured down. Imam, he comes, says, makes a little grave behind the camps or somewhere in the battlefield and buries his little infant. Says that, Laytakum fi yawm ashura jami'an fanthuruni. I wish you were there on the day of Ashura. I wish you saw. كَيْفَ أَسْتَسْقِي لِتِفْلِي فَأَبَوْا أَنْ يَرْحَمُونِي. How I was pleading for water and how they pay back, how they rejected. قُفْتْ أَيْ قَوْمْ رُوحِ پَيْ كَرَمْ إِنَاسْ. When Imam comes on that day holding his infant, saying that, you want to know who this infant is? Says, this is my soul. It's Ruhi Pei Karam Inas. Sani Haydar Ali Asgharam Inas. It's Haydar the second. It's my Ali Asghar. Then says, On Hame Asghar Budand Akbaram Inas. Says, all of those martyrs that you see, 70 of them, all of them were little, all of them were asghar. You want to know who this is? Akbar Aminas. Although he is so small, in reality he is the greatest of my martyrs. Hujjat Kubra ye ruz mahshar Aminas. Says, that is the greatest argument of mine, greatest proof of my mazlumiyya, greatest proof of my oppression on the day of judgment. On hame asghar budand akbar aminas, hujjat kubra ye ruz mahshar aminas. او که بدین کودکی گناه ندارد. This little infant, what wrong has it done? یا که سر رزم این سپاه ندارد. Nor can this infant fight this army. بلکه بس افسرده است آه ندارد. Says, you see this infant so tiny, so dehydrated it is, it can't even sigh. جای دهید آن را که پناه ندارد. Imam says that, and that mal'oon shoots that huge big arrow and it lands into the neck of Ali Asghar. Says that another arrow on that day was shot by that same mal'oon, which lands onto the heart of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Says, if you want to know in reality, that spear, it did not land on Abu Abdullah's heart, it lands on the heart of Rasulullah. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa sayya'lamu al-lazina thalamu ayyamun ghalabin yanqalibun ilahi bihaqq al-zahra wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمن وجب له حق علينا ولمن وصانا بالدعاء ولجميع أمة محمد وآل محمد. Ya Allah, these tears that were shed in love of Ahlul Bayt, in the aza of Ahlul Bayt, make them, keep them an asset of ours for our barzakh and our qiyamah. All the wrong that we have done, Ya Allah, by these tears, by that love of Ahlul Bayt, forgive us. Waive all the sins that we have done. Give us the opportunity to the tawfiq to be better servants, to be a slave of yours in every aspect. Ya Allah, all those who have hopes in these majalis and all those who are not here, all those who are ill and ailing, especially those present and those who have hopes from away, all them be granted with shifa. All those who have passed away, Ya Allah, elevate their ranks. Ilahi, our only dua, the topmost dua that we have for tonight is the return of our Imam, our Master. All that is wrong in us, everything wrong everywhere will be fixed by his return. Allah, hasten in his return. Count us among his true supporters, among his true servants, those who seek shahadat in his service, our children to be enlisted among the best of his servants, Matam-e Hussain.